James Breslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome everybody back to the third hour of the James Breslow Show here on a Wednesday, 2 p.m. here in Los Angeles, California. You can go check out my work on Epoch Times on the opinion section, or also the opinion section of foxnews.com, or my podcast, The Hidden Truth Show. This hour, we've got a very interesting guest on who's co-authored a book called Unlearning Communism, in which he explains why the consequences of all ideologies based on Marxism must always and inevitably have the same bloody outcome. We've already seen bloodshed here in America based on this ideology. I thought everyone seemed to think that it was dead with the fall of the Soviet Union, but it is far from dead and clearly on the rise here in America. Dr. Alex Sobick will be joining us to talk about his book. And in the news today, we've got Wimbledon has started in London, England, allowing all to participate regardless of vaccination status. Good job, Wimbledon. U.S. Open, not so much. As we speak now, it looks like they will be banning any players that have not been vaccinated, which includes Novak Djokovic. Wimbledon did not such a great thing on the issue of Russian tennis players. As much as I support Ukraine and want to see Putin gone and believe wholeheartedly that everything that Russia has done in this war has been unprovoked and improper and illegal. And I do generally support the sanctions against Russia. However, at Wimbledon, they are now not allowing Russian players to play. This is not the Olympics where they're representing their country. This is where they're going there as individuals. And I know a lot of the top players complained about that. Medvedev from Russia is one of the top men's players not able to participate. And I do think that is wrong. I think Russia skated, obviously, when it comes to the Olympics. If you watch the Olympics, you'll see that, you know, Russia as a country has been banned from the Olympics due to using performance-enhancing drugs. They continue to get busted again and again and again on that. There's a movie about it called Icarus that I highly recommend. Won the Academy Award for Best Documentary, Icarus, which basically exposes that during the Winter Olympics in Sochi, there was rampant cheating going on. All state-sponsored. Everyone was in the know, probably right up to Putin, that the Olympic team was doping. They went on to win that Olympics. Russia won that Winter Olympics in, I think it was 2014. And it was followed very soon thereafter by their invasion of Crimea, which is also laid out in the documentary. So Russia came coming off of an international high where everybody was speaking about what a great Olympics they had put on. They spent about $60 billion on it. And the next thing you know, they're invading Crimea and nobody says a peep. And the sanction for the Russian team was that, okay, Russia can no longer participate in the Summer or Winter Olympics for X number of years. Instead, however, they call it the Russian Olympic Committee. So when you're watching the Olympics, if you notice that or in the next one, you'll see that there's no Russian flag, but instead they call it the Russian Olympic Committee, ROC, and they're effectively all able to compete as a team. Even the team sports, they were allowed to compete as ROC. So a minor slap on the wrist for Russia for doing major cheating to the extent that, bottom line, they should not have won the 2014 Winter Olympics. Who knows what place they should have been in, but they shouldn't have won. Clearly, doping plays a significant role. When you're talking about at that level, any small percentage change is all you need to get an edge on your competitors. That's what we saw in the Tour de France with all the doping there, and the players just, or the racers just looking for a slight edge. So they shouldn't have won the Olympics, which would have made things a little bit more interesting. Could that have affected in any way his decision to then invade Crimea and then of course, the world did nothing. And then we have what we see today with the invasion of the entire country of Ukraine. Last thought on Wimbledon. Many people are not aware, but thanks to woke culture and the equity agenda, the men are paid exactly the same as what the women are paid. Prize money, exactly the same. And they boast about how great that is. I would say it's great too, if it was based on merit and based on numbers. Pay is usually based upon how much you help bring in. Certain professions pay more than others because it's more difficult to find people. It's all a supply and demand issue. Pay is all an element of supply and demand, but not when it comes to Wimbledon and all of the major tennis tournaments. They all give equal pay to men and women, regardless of how much money they bring in, how much viewers one gets versus the other. It's been proven again and again that men typically draw far more viewers than the women's tennis, even though occasionally that changes. But the biggest thing is that the men play best of five sets. The women play best of three sets. So they play far, far shorter matches than the men. Yet they're paid the same. Isn't it all equal work, equal pay? Isn't that what they always say? Equal work, equal pay. This is not equal work. They play two or three sets. The men play three to five sets, yet paid the same. That's the wokeism for you. That's the equity agenda. Pay the same regardless of the work. That's my take on the news on TNT Radio.
Conversations to inform and include.
It's meant for everyday people to understand.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, we have with us Dr. Alex Sovic, a molecular biologist with almost a decade-long work experience in scientific research. He was part of a video drawing comparison to the Yugoslavian Civil War, to what's going on in the U.S. He's co-written a book called Unlearning Communism, where he walks people through the ideology and helps people determine whether they identify with that ideology or not. So something more important than ever here in America. Never thought I'd say that. But Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello from Houston, and thank you for fulfilling my dream of having a live talk on the radio. Because you see, during the 80s, we had a Yugoslavian movie that became cult movie. That is the movie called Black Bombardier, that it can be actually translated as U2 or something like that, spy plane. It is about radio host who is trying to wake the entire nation and change his society to something better. So thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, well, maybe you can be that person. So, yeah, give us your background. What country are you from, and when did you come to the U.S.? And give us a little background on that.
So I lived in several countries without ever moving away from my house. I started living in Socialist Federative Republic of Yugoslavia, or let's call it Communist Yugoslavia. Then we had civil war, and it was just a small Yugoslavia. Then it became Serbia and Montenegro, and then it became just Serbia. I came to the United States in the winter of 2021, after seeing and predicting what is going to happen with Europe. I realized that it is a biblical time, that ark must be built, and that I really must go away from Europe and try to settle among the people who cherish the freedom. So this is how I came to America. Why I wrote this book is another question. Well, you see, there is a strange tendency that people who are inclined towards mathematics like to discuss about social phenomena. The first one was Igor Shofarevich. He was an absolute genius who wrote the best book about the history of proto-Marxist ideologists, and nobody knows a word about him, although Solzhenitsyn was recommending him. The second one is Solzhenitsyn, and me, who cannot even bring water to those two genius people, is trying to do something similar. Because we have the mindset that everything can be deduced to some logical sequence of events. And this is why history is cyclical. This is why maybe people who are good at math or biology should do social sciences rather than experts in social scientists.
Tell me, before we talk about the book Unlearning Communism, tell us the links you're seeing between what happened in Yugoslavia and the breakup of the civil war that took place, resulting in the breakup of Yugoslavia. I have to admit, I do not know a lot about the background of that you guys were really fighting about, and the communist element. The communist element of that whole thing, because of course Yugoslavia was part of the Soviet bloc.
Sort of as, and sort of not. So I will try to make it as simple as possible, so fellow Serbs, Croatians, Bosnians, and everybody else, don't mind me. I'm just trying to give some brief review. So the whole problem with the states in Europe, including the current conflict between Russia and Ukraine, can be dated back to World War I and the dissolvement of great empires. During that time, there was one critical question that is called Truman Points, based on US President Truman. And the question is simple. Can the people who are of some ethnicity or race or nationality, if they live in a certain territory, can they secede and make their separate country? Or it is not allowed by any means and not under any circumstances. So the Yugoslavia was a federation of Slavic nations from southern group of Slavs. So we are not Russians, we are something different. We have different language, but among ourselves, we are pretty much indistinguishable. We have similar religion. Serbs are Orthodox, Croats are Catholics, and we have Bosnians who are Muslims. They were Christians some 500 years ago, but they accepted Islam because the taxation was more favorable. So now they are Muslims. We accepted the communism after World War II, once the side that was supporting communist ideology won. Why it won? Well, it won for the same reason why it won in Soviet Union 20 years before, because the system was pretty much rotten. We were Kingdom of Yugoslavia first, but it was corrupted to its core. And when something is corrupted and rotten, other ideologies will invade the void and fill the gap. So the first thing that you should understand as Americans is, if you as America deviate from the vision of your founding fathers, you will first be left with nihilism, and that nihilistic void will be filled by some other ideologist. Because me as a biologist, I can see that clearly. In every ecosystem on planet Earth, this is something that we are learning as ecology and as theory of evolution. You cannot have voids. Nihilism is the worst state of being. Even poor ideology is better than no ideology of all. And this is why when something is rotten and when the society is not functioning, all plethora of strange ideas are trying to fill that void. If you take a look at the period between two world wars in Europe, you can clearly see that there were three competing factions. There were communists, aka international socialists. There were Nazis or national socialists. And there were fascists that can be called ID card socialists. I'm not sure that many Americans really understand the difference between those three. Would you like to talk about this topic?
Yeah. Give us a quick description of the difference between those three and especially how it played into what was going on in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, it's really important to understand because people are using the words in incorrect way. You can see, you can hear everybody speaking about some fascism all around, but they don't know what fascism is. And that's the problem. If you don't know what the ideology that you're competing against is, you cannot win. And if you don't understand what the game is, you don't even know how to play. So let's make simple distinction. What does it mean when something is Marxist / socialist? Does it mean free stuff, free healthcare, free education, and so on? Well, it means, but it is not the main purpose of the socialism. The main purpose of the socialism is socialization of people. And what does it mean, socialization of people? It means that the people are separated into groups. However, those are not some groups that you are used to, some neighbors or sports club fans. No, 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 it's something different. It is the acceptance of group identity. In the group identity that is the core of socialism, all your values, all your traits as a human are reduced to nothing but a single dimension. Let's say that you are in the Soviet Russia. Socialism there was a communism. If you are a member of bourgeoisie, aka people with passive income, it doesn't mean rich people, it means people who have passive income, you should be annihilated. You don't have the right to exist. It doesn't matter if you were the best man in the world, honest husband, a great helper to the community, doctor, saved everybody, doesn't care. If you have passive income, you must disappear. In the Nazi Germany, it was the different division. In Nazi Germany, you could be ethnic German or you would be exterminated. It doesn't mean you could be Slav, you could be Jew, you could be anything you want. And in fascist Italy, you actually needed Italian ID card and you are good. They don't care if you are ethnic Italian or not. So what is the socialism? Now we know it is socialization of people and reduction of the all human traits to only one single trait that is almost impossible to escape. You have mentioned the status of tennis players regarding vaccination and that they cannot play in US Open. Well, welcome to the socialism that we can call vax socialism. That is socialism. You can make some fun socialisms like tall people socialism or blue-eyed socialism. Or you can make socialisms, socialisms that you can see now in America. Now you have professional women, professional white people, professional black people, all the professionals representing one trait of one single group. And this is why America is heading towards socialism. So what happened in Yugoslavia? During the 30s, we had the emergence of communists, so the people who need to work to live versus those who have passive income. And then we have their brothers, national socialists, who were promoting the idea that everything needs to be redistributed because there is nothing new to discover. So they formed a bloc that was known as Ustaše or National Socialists. You had National Socialists in Bulgaria, Serbia, Hungary. Everybody had their own National Socialists. Communism was alive for one or two generations, from 1940s to 1980s, let's say. And then people were sick and tired of communism because we were all equally poor. We don't have the bourgeoisie anymore. We don't have people who know how to generate money or passive income. But we have forgotten how to be free and how to think like free men. Because we have forgotten how to live like free men, we needed to rebrand our socialisms so we know how to behave. So the division between the classes, economic classes, was replaced with something that I'm defining as nationalistic socialisms. So it is not like national socialism. No, nobody's really going to annihilate all the Serbs / Croats, but it will be some heavy repressions in both sides. So during the 90s, when the Europe was uniting, we were inventing new sorts of socialisms. And here is the parallel. Once you have the people who are not capable of existing as individuals, then you have the society that is susceptible to socialist ideas, and some socialist ideas will simply stick. Probably later this week, I will have another interview talking more about the situation in Yugoslavia with ethnic Croat, and that will be an excellent interview. And we will say more about those divisions. However, what your listeners should know is that once you have such a climate that is regulated by the laws, by the decrees, by the way everything is organized, that is favorizing some professionalism regarding group identity, you will have socialism. If you have quotas for women, Black, I don't know, trans, whatever, you will have social professional socialists who will exploit that gap and who will reap the benefits from being socialists. So this is the first and the second parallel. You have the society that is not functioning right. You have nihilism. After nihilism, Marxist ideologists will invade the minds because they are very simple and very firing. Once the people, once the population forgets how to live freely, then the socialism is there to stay for generations. If you like Bible,
we gotta,
that kind of like...
Alex, we gotta take our first break, but that's an excellent introduction to it. And what I want to pick up when we get back from the break is
perfect.
Why you are concerned that things have gotten, in that respect, worse than ever in Europe. Let's pick up there. You're listening to the James Breslow Show on TNT Radio.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
And it started making me think. And I ended up buying Virus Mania. And I read it. And it had a profound effect on me because it made me question everything I ever thought I knew about viruses. And I'm not a medical mind at all. So reading stuff like that, I have to do very slowly. But it just made sense. And it makes you realize that if it's true that SARS-CoV-2 doesn't exist, then what the heck is the purpose of a vaccine? What is it vaccinating against? And for that matter, what is any vaccine vaccinating against? Because now that's the logical extension of the virus myth.
100%. I came from conventional as it gets. I had vaccinated my children. I had always had the flu jab every year. It was just, I never questioned any of that, and nothing, I didn't have an adverse reaction. But I have to say, this book changed me.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The 2020 election was the most secure in U.S. history. There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
He lost a fair and secure election.
The most secure
election in American history.
Really?
All those of you who volunteered and worked the polls, you deserve a special thanks from the entire nation.
This one mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes. He's not alone. We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops. Leaving no fingerprints. Snapping photos to get paid. A coordinated ring of illegal vote harvesting in all the key states where the election was decided.
They've delivered us a clear victory.
Game over.
Stream at Salem Now or Locals.
For the news and talk you can't hear anywhere else.
It gives you some awareness of what's really going on.
Where things are at, even around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. You're listening to the James Breslow Program, and we are having a fascinating discussion with Dr. Alex Sobek, who has written the book Unlearning Communism, and recently came to America from Serbia. He is a survivor of the Yugoslavian Civil War and was telling us about that and how it came to be. And I guess essentially what you're saying is, as a result of the fall of communism, kind of replaced by this national socialism where people went to their own camps and ended up dividing up Yugoslavia nationalistically, resulting in Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, etc. But you left just last year, you were telling me, because you're seeing some serious problems on the horizon in Europe. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Europe has committed a suicide some 5 years ago. Let me tell you one interesting story, because before we continue with this, civil war in Yugoslavia was something that normal people cannot comprehend. There was one town in Bosnia today where three sides fought simultaneously, everybody against everybody, like in the game of Risk. There was a family of a father and two sons fighting for three different nations. Can you believe a father was a Croat? His son decided that he's more like a Serb. And the another son was thinking, I'm a Muslim, definitely. I'm a Bosnian. So once the socialism kicks in, you cannot speak about unity. You cannot singing Kumbaya and thinking about peace and everything. You cannot be a hippie. You must choose the side, and that is very dangerous. Back to Europe. Europe in 2015 has opened the floodgates, and it was flooded by the immigrants from all over the world. However, it was drowned in lies, in perpetual lies that were constantly repeated for 20 years or so. You see, in Europe, there is a group of people we call gypsies. Gypsies are people from India who came to Europe sometimes in the Middle Ages. They came to Europe with their language, with their brownish color, and with their unique philosophy of life that was semi-nomadic, let's say. They live in all the countries of Europe, and they never integrated for 500 years. They just didn't want to integrate it. They like their way of life. They have their own music. They're pretty cool people. And they don't want to integrate. However, Europe was perpetuating the lie that they are capable of integrating absolutely each and everyone. That is the lie. And Europe doesn't look like Europe anymore. European cities are ghost towns after 9 p.m. And you have clashes based on national origin between the different ethnic fractions. I didn't want to participate in that. I don't see that Europe is fixable. And this is why I decided to move from France to Slovenia and then from Slovenia to the United States. This is why the Europe made the mistake. However, the mistake can be traced back to the 18th or 19th century, because there is something very important about Americanism versus Europeism, if we can call it like that. What is the national motto of America? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Right to live, right to pursue something, to have the adventure. Nothing is guaranteed. You can be a millionaire or you can be in slums. And you are free to do it. You have liberty. However, French Revolution got everything wrong from American Revolution and paved the way towards socialist policies that started in the 19th century and that will never cease to exist in Europe. The motto of French Revolution and basically all the countries in Europe is liberté, liberty. Okay, we have one good. Égalité, equality, that actually means equity. And fraternité, brotherhood, meaning that you are somehow obligated to help other people. In the more extreme version of French slogan, it is actually fraternity or death. So the Europe was based on the concept of national states, of group identity, while the America was the most perfect melting pot that ever existed. Nikola Tesla, those Tesla car, he came from my region of the world. He became American. G.I. Joe soldier Michael Page was defending American lines in Guadalcanal in Pacific. He was ethnic Serb. He won Medal of Honor for that. So many people understood the concept of America, that it was inherently better than the concept that was made in Europe. This is why anyone who is working, doing any job in America, has better standard of living than the engineer in Germany. And I'm not sure that Americans are aware of that fact, how rich they are, how great their society once was. And why is that so? Because of something that we have explained in our first chapter of the book, and that is the concept of free will. Americans were the only people in the world who understood this principle, that people have their own free will to live their life as they are pleased to do. Nothing was guaranteed, and that was the secret. Everybody else were demanding something from the society. Americans only wanted to be adventurers. And this is the main question for the readers that I'm asking them in the first chapter. Do the people have free will or not? I was convinced that 100.00% of Americans are absolutely for free will. However, what I have seen in 2020 and after that during this COVID madness is that many people in the West, in Europe, probably 2/3 of the people, and in America, maybe half versus half, actually don't want to have free will. That they are actually demanding from some divine power that is now put in the body of state, almighty state that will be omnipresent and omnipotent, to save them from everything, including some sniffles. So, do the people have the right to live freely and to express their free will or not? That is the main question. If you say yes, you're about to make America as the vision of your founding fathers. If you say no, you are on the pathway towards Marxism, socialism in all its forms.
I want to ask you a question about, you mentioned something about immigration in Europe about 7 years ago, and you mentioned the gypsies.
Yes.
So I'm a little confused. Are you talking about that there was major immigration of gypsies during that time to Europe?
No,
talking about from the Middle Easterners? Because I'm aware, of course, that came from Syria.
So, gypsies came from India in the Middle Ages, 500 years ago. And they never integrated in Europe. They just lived as gypsies. However, Europe was 100% convinced that it is capable of integrating all the people from across the globe. So everybody were flocking towards Europe from Middle East, from Afghanistan, from Bangladesh, from sub-Saharan Africa. Literally, the entire world was coming to Europe. Europe was not able to integrate people who were living Europeans for 500 years, but that same Europe is 100% sure that they will integrate the entire world, the entire globe, within the span of one generation.
And what is it you're referring to that happened 6 or 7 years ago?
The migrant wave of all those people coming to Europe.
Are you talking about, wasn't it primarily Middle Easterners as a result of the Syrian war?
No, that's a lie, actually. There were no Syrians at all. There were people just coming to Europe, random people, from Bangladesh, that is 3,000 miles away, from Iraq, that is 1,000 miles away, from sub-Saharan Africa, that is on another continent. People were just coming to Europe to reap the benefits of the countries that were giving them help, that were giving them free stuff.
This is really important because we've got open borders now, as you know, you're living in Texas, so you should really know about it. So you're basically saying that Europe opened its borders, and this was, of course, the EU that would have done this, and what? Allowed illegal immigrants or made legal immigration super easy? How did this happen?
Oh, no. Legal immigration in Europe is actually incredibly difficult because I was legal migrant from Serbia to France and from Serbia to Slovenia. That was technically speaking, sort of my own country, you need all the paperwork, loops and hoops and fingerprints and diplomas and everything. You need to do a lot of paperwork, just as much paperwork that you need to come to the United States. However, Germany, France, Austria, that Western bloc of European Union has decided to just let the people in and give them all the benefits. Free or very affordable housing, healthcare, some pocket money that was $1,000 or so per person. They lived excellent life. So why would someone stay in the home country, working day and night for 1 month to earn $100 when they can come to Europe, do nothing and earn $1,000? This is why Western Europe was flooded with illegal migrants, while the Eastern Europe, that was not giving any benefits to them, was left alone. There are no illegal migrants in Poland or Hungary or Bulgaria or Serbia. Your border, southern border, is a little bit different thing because you have people who are Hispanic. They are of, let's say, one ethnicity, to say like this. They are speaking Spanish. They are speaking all the same language. They are Christians. They are coming to America still with some idea about the life in America. They are idealizing that country, so they are a different sort of problem. However, what came to Europe is the mass of people who are completely incompatible with each other and with European values. They don't know why they came from Europe to Europe. They came because there is free stuff in Europe. So the problems are fundamentally different. Your situation is bad, but it is much better than European situation.
But it is similar in that it is an open borders mentality. It's clear that this administration, despite everything that you see going on at the border, they look the other way. Just today, 53 illegal immigrants died in a truck. No announcement, no concern. They're not going to do anything about that. They've got this policy where you could just come across, turn yourself in, ask for political asylum, and they let you go into the country. So that mentality that this administration has, that you're saying comes direct from Europe. That has been their mentality for the past 8 years. And as a result, how many people are we talking about? How many illegal immigrants?
Nobody knows how to count them. They're uncountable. Nobody knows.
There's got to be estimates, though. There's got to be estimates. What are the estimates?
Millions, definitely. We are speaking about several percent of the total population.
What percent?
Several percent. Mm-hmm. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 5, depending from country to country. But it is very difficult to estimate because in Europe, they are doing censuses usually once in 10 years. So nobody's actually counting people in real time.
So what was the point you were making about European cities and that, you know, people aren't out after 9 o'clock? What are you talking about?
You have marauding gangs of people who are patrolling the streets of their neighborhoods. So it is not something that you don't feel safe anymore. You cannot walk freely. This is why I moved from France to Slovenia, just to walk freely again and not look over my shoulder constantly.
Where were you in France?
I was in the northern part of the France, in the town called Lille. It is close to the Belgian border.
And you felt that little town was not safe?
It is about 200,000 people big. It has its own ghetto. I was living at the border of that ghetto. I mean, I know how to... I'm pretty good with people. I know how to implement with other cultures. So personally, I didn't have some spectacular problem. But overall, it wasn't France. It wasn't France anymore. I don't know what it was.
By the way, what are your thoughts about Ukraine now probably becoming part of the EU when, you know, you're saying that this immigration open borders thing has been going on only in EU countries, not in Eastern European countries? Does that mean that now they're going to start going into Ukraine also?
Probably not, because Ukraine is an extremely poor country. I mean, their salaries are in the range of hundreds of dollars per month. not a single immigrant would go there. Not a single illegal immigrant would go there. So they don't have any reasons to worry, honestly.
You're going to where the benefits are, and you're saying that absolutely these illegal immigrants are being treated no differently than citizens. Is that what you would say?
No, they are treated better than citizens. Citizens don't get that. Legal migrants don't get that. You have mentioned Djokovic, who cannot play US Open because he is not vaccinated, but you can just jump across the border and everything will be fine. So no, it is worse for the citizens.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating. We got to take a break, but you know, I always say about America that no matter how bad it is here, it's probably worse everywhere else. And you've pretty much confirmed that despite us having our huge border problem, you're saying that Europe has had it. They did it before we did it. And theirs is even worse. But just watch what's going on in Europe, and it's headed this way. Let's pick up there when we return from the break. You're listening to the James Breslow Show on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The U.S. Supreme Court on the 28th of June reinstated an electoral map of Louisiana's six U.S. House of Representatives districts that had been blocked by a judge who stated it would likely discriminate against black voters. This ruling for the ongoing Merrill v. Milligan case will upset many American Democrats who have consistently accused Republicans of gerrymandering along racial lines. Blacks who vote for Republican candidates will likely disagree. Likewise, Judge Clarence Thomas, the only African-American member of the Supreme Court, voted with the majority, while the nine-member court's three liberal justices dissented from the decision. Divisive arguments about gerrymandering along racial lines, fueled by the establishment legacy media, could help stoke further violent protests, as happened following the enormous media coverage of George Floyd's killing. This would really upset the midterm elections. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Are you finding it harder to do the things you used to do, like vacuuming or getting to appointments? If you need a bit of support at home, the Australian Government's My Aged Care is your starting point to access services. You'll find all the information and advice you need in the one place. To find out about other services, eligibility and costs, call 1800 200 422 or go to myagedcare.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra, spoken by Heather Christie.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Great water infrastructure can transform vast areas of land from a dust bowl to an oasis. The Snowy Mountains scheme in Australia was a fine example. It paid for itself many times over in billions of dollars worth of agricultural production in the Murray-Darling Basin. In 1984, at the direction of the Queensland State Government, four of Australia's leading hydraulic engineering firms investigated a revised Bradfield scheme. Based on this study, the government's Office of Northern Development estimated the scheme would have a net capital cost of $2.49 billion and would produce an annual gross revenue, value of production, of $2.02 billion. Therefore, the scheme would pay for itself in less than 2 years. In recent years, Sir Leo Hailsha and Sir Frank Moore have championed a revised Bradfield scheme to divert floodwaters from northern Queensland into the Murray-Darling Basin.
During the pandemic, 129 billion unrecyclable masks were used and thrown away every month. Over 3 billion masks now pollute the oceans. Let's not turn a blind eye to this disgusting plastic pollution.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the James Breslow Show. We're in our final segment with Dr. Alex Sovic, who's the author, co-author of the book, Unlearning Communism, moved here from Yugoslavia, or from Serbia, I should say, last year. I want to get to the book because we've got limited time left. But before we do, I just want to ask you one question. What has been most surprising to you about America since you arrived last year?
I always like to ask people of different nations and ethnicities what is their biggest fear and what would be the thing that could change their lives so dramatically that it would be almost not worth living. And not a single American knew the answer. If you ask some Albanian or Turk or Russian, they know the answer. Americans, for some reason, don't know the answer. That was my biggest surprise.
Okay, so what's the answer? I guess I'm another American who doesn't know the answer.
Well, could you imagine that your children or grandchildren are living in America that is American in name only, but it is something completely different? Can you imagine them living in socialist America or in America that looks like Cambodia or Germany? For many people, yeah, many nations, that is something that is completely unacceptable and something worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that because they know that history, they've seen it, they've lived it, and it's the one thing that they could not tolerate.
They're actually
going
proud.
Back to that.
They're actually proud of their origin. They're proud of their way of living, and they want to preserve that way of living. As a biologist, I can tell you that all the organisms in the world has three options. One option is to survive and continue the lineage. Another thing is to evolve, often into something that is unrecognizable, or to perish. So many nations want to survive and want to continue the lineage. And that is the most sacred of all the duties for many people in the world. If Americans or Europeans don't understand this concept, those people who are coming to America or who are coming to Europe will be the one who will inherit that world and change it forever.
And are you concerned about the state of America right now then?
Well, it is not concerning per se. It is something that is inevitable if the things continue. You cannot be concerned because there will be a new day or a new season of the year. You're just observing the fact. So am I sad that America and Europe are becoming something that I don't really like? Yes, I am. Am I concerned and willing to do something? Well, I'm trying. I'm giving my best intellectual effort and I'm doing whatever I can on personal level. However, am I really concerned about it? I'm not concerned. I know that we are already in the ideological battle that started when I was born. That battle will be continued. That battle is fought every day. So I'm not concerned. I'm just aware of that fact.
Is America further along slipping into socialism than you thought it was before you moved here?
Well, I knew that it is slipping towards socialism. I was not sure how the mentality of average American is susceptible to that idea. Now I have seen that people are absolutely susceptible to that idea because they are not willing to fight the incompetence. They want to change the competence, something that built this country and this world, that propelled this country from horse carriage and cowboys to space in only one century. And they want to replace that for some equity quotas. That is so sad. They want socialism and free stuff and to be managers without skills, only because they are of certain gender or race or ethnicity, not because of their competence. And that is something that is really making me sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is it that you have done that is your effort to try to awaken people to this and get them to understand through your book, Unlearning Communism?
Well, the people will have the task that can be solved in one weekend or one day of reading if they're doing it hard. They have the task to build utopia. Utopia is a buzzword. It was not a good society. It was society based on slave labor and the socialist society. That is utopia. So don't use that word if you don't need to. The readers will have the choice. What do they want? How do they want to live? Do they want to live like free men, like individuals, like somebody who is a complex being and whose potential is unlimited? Or they want to be just one speck of dust, one piece of mindless crowd and mob, but to feel safe in that herd. I am not a god. I cannot order them. I cannot affect them. I really believe that people have free will. I can give them this book to read it in only 1 or 2 days, and to decide what their lineage will be. If it is not worth preserving for them and for their successors, I cannot help them. Nobody can.
How do you assure that this, or ensure that this book gets in the hands of the right people? I mean, just by that title and learning communism, you know, it's kind of conservatives in the U.S. who are already extremely concerned about this movement. And then you've got the people that are Democrats that are kind of going along with it, and a lot of them not really realizing it, that their party has been hijacked by the progressive left. You talk to most people, they don't even know the difference between a liberal and a progressive. They just know they're the Democrat Party.
That is their free will. They can learn the difference in about 5 minutes. I can tell that difference to them, but if they are blind and they don't want to listen to that, I cannot help them. You know, in the Bible, there are many blind men who are somehow blind, but they still recognize Jesus, that he is somewhere around, and they are asking for help. And only then they can be healed. People who don't know that they are blind and people who don't want to ask to be healed cannot be saved, cannot be healed. So this book is a seriously based book, and nobody is going to like me for what I wrote in this book. But I'm challenging the people to read it and to think about how do they want to live their life. This is the combination of Solzhenitsyn, Peterson, some East Orthodox Slavic logic point of views, and something that is mine, Katarina's, and deeply unique to us. So I think that anybody can use 1 or 2 days to learn something and unlearn communism forever.
Is Amazon selling this book?
Yes, I have two prices. Electronic copy is 8.88 because it's a pretty lucky number. And for printed version, it is 1776.
I like that. Well, the reason I ask about Amazon is not just to give you a plug for your book, because I'm not a big Amazon fan, so I'd rather see them buy it somewhere else, even though I get it. It's the easiest place to buy stuff, and I violate my own policy all the time because Amazon is just so damn easy. But, you know, Amazon is known for banning books. So that was the reason for my question. Your book has not been banned by Amazon yet.
No, it is there for more than a year now. So year and a half. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good. How do you feel about the divided media that we have in America? I highlight that as one of, I think, our biggest problems. Again, trying to get the two sides to talk to each other.
Thanks, God, you're divided, because if you are united with something that is ideologically possessed as Marxism, that means that you have lost. The thing that you are divided means that you are still in the fight. So thanks God you are divided. Never unite with Marxists. Never.
I understand what you're saying, but you know, my point is that it's the news is so politicized that you really feel like you're living in two different worlds. If you watch Fox News versus CNN or NBC, you wouldn't even know that you're living in the same country. I'm not sure we should be that divided. I mean, the essential, what's an important story and the facts of that story, there shouldn't be such a divide there, I don't think.
You don't have the choice. It's described in all ancient texts. It's called battle of gods. It's battle of ideas. And the best idea would prevail. They are fighting for their ideology. The only thing that you can do is to fight for your ideology. They don't care about the facts. They don't care about their vision of reality. They care about winning. Just any other living creature. That is something that biologists understand. They are concentrating on winning, surviving, and thriving. The real question is why the conservative side is not concentrating on the same, but instead is constantly trying to appease the other side, to make some peaceful interaction with that side, and to argue with that side as if arguing is fair. Life is not fair. Life is about winning and continuation of the lineage. of the core values and ideas.
Let's leave it there. That was a fascinating hour. So glad that you were able to join us, Dr. Alex Savick. Appreciate it. Everybody go check out his book, Unlearning Communism. All right, thanks. Love
Goodbye
to do it again
everybody.
With you sometime soon. All right, thanks. And that wraps up the James Breslow Show on a Wednesday. We'll be back at you tomorrow with a brand new show. This is James Breslow on TNT Radio.